Okay. Let me just reflect for a few minutes here. You know, in an average year, the United States of America is a buzzing beehive of activity. On average, Americans drive 3.5 trillion miles a year, take more than 16 million flights, spend $330 billion on big meetings, almost $1 trillion on sports. We make 45.5 billion trips to restaurants and over 20 million visits just to the Magic Kingdom in Disney World. That is a lot of activity, burning a lot of fuel. And all that activity costs about $22 trillion. That's what it takes to make all of that happen. If that does not make your head spin, I don't know what does. But here's the deal. When there is so much happening, so much activity, so much running from this task to the next, it's really super hard for us to hear anything but the noise of our own activity. But there are also times in history when God wants to be heard, especially when he wants to do something big and he needs people to listen. So he decides to shut the whole world down. Yes, you heard that right. God can shut the whole world down when he wants to get our attention in a unique way. Psalm 65 verse 7 says this: "You quietened the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations." God has certainly quietened us. Here are some observations about this shutting down that God has effected. The first observation is that it has happened in a flash. In the sermon title, I described it as a day, right? A world was stopped in a day. But by day, I really meant a flash. Let me put that in context. Over the last 10 years, the US economy has grown at a steady pace of about 2%. That's a very good rate of growth when you're talking about a $20 trillion economy. But with the coronavirus lockdown, economists have said that most likely we are already in a recession. Can you imagine such a huge economy humming along for almost 10 years at a steady pace, suddenly experiencing a situation where everybody is forced indoors, all the big events are canceled. In a matter of weeks, the economy is shrinking instead of growing. When God moves, he makes things happen in a flash. He quietens the raging oceans and silences the shouting of the nations. And he does it in a flash. But the second observation that I want to make is that being silenced is not such a bad thing. You see, as Kailash mentioned a little earlier, it opens up our capacity to think about what we are doing in a way that we just cannot in the midst of the humdrum of our routine lives. When our routine is silenced, it gives us time to pause and reflect. Before this, people were busy doing a lot of things. Busyness is one of the most valued attributes in the US because busyness equates to how valued people think you are. Now, I'm not dissing all busyness. There's something very admirable about people who rise to the occasion and do what it takes in a crisis, putting long hours and sacrificing many things to help those in need, like medical professionals or first responders in an emergency. But there is a great danger in being busy all the time. And some people have to do multiple jobs just to make ends meet. But the danger in being busy all the time is that you may get a lot of things done, but in the process, you can get disconnected from God and the spiritual mentors who God has put in your life to guide you, you might get busy running the rat race, but you really don't know what you are running towards or even why you are running in the first place. When we are busy, we only hear the urgent voices calling us. And when we are busy, we also tend to add escape mechanisms into our schedule to help us let off steam. Things like browsing social media or some clickbait on the internet. When you add the urgent tasks at work and then add to that our escape mechanisms and clickbait, we have just a lot of activity going on. Much of it may not be leading us anywhere in particular and nowhere near where God wants us to go. To put it another way, our lives are filled with noise. Now imagine this problem scaled to the whole country and then scaled even more to the whole wide world. Imagine the noise level in the whole world. Now this is tragic. Because God, you see, made a beautiful world and he made creatures called human beings who even carry attributes of God in their being. And he put them in charge of the world that he created and set himself both as their Lord and helper, the one who would enable human beings to accomplish the goals he had set for them. But what we have done in turn with the responsibilities and opportunities that God laid before us is that we have filled the world, our nations, our institutions, and our families even, with the noise of activity that is both meaningless to God and one that makes it impossible, in fact, to hear the voice of God. Prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 12 and 13. He says, "Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Listen, the armies of many nations roar like the roaring of the sea. Hear the thunder of the mighty forces as they rush forward like thundering waves. But though they thunder like breakers on a beach, God will silence them and they will run away." Be quiet, in other words, God is telling the world. God has something to say for anybody who cares to listen. Be quiet for once. Now, if you have quietened yourself enough, I want to draw your attention today to the powerful words of Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, God has a lot to say for such a time as this. Verse 1 and 2 says this, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea." So the first thing that God wants to tell us is, do not fear. Why should we not fear? Well, because God is assuring us that he is our refuge and strength. What is a refuge? It is a place we go to when things are difficult. When things are difficult, God is saying, you can go to him. So how do you go to him? One way you go to him is by going to his promises. Right in verse 1, he is promising that he will be our strength. So when big things happen, when we are in times of trouble, when you might feel that you are being sapped of your strength, when your knees are wobbly and you are feeling drained, go to the promises that God has made. One of his promises is that he will be your refuge and your strength. So let the oceans roar and the mountains crumble. You do not have to fear if God himself is your refuge and strength. But you might ask, if God is going to be our refuge and strength, where is God then when all hell breaks loose? Let me address that by reading to you verse 4 to 7 of our psalm. It says, "A river brings joy to the city of God, of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." So verse 4 to 7 is saying this. God lives in an indestructible city. And yet, God, who is also called the Lord of heaven's armies, is right here among us. How amazing is that? So do not fear, because God has promised to be with you no matter how bad the situation looks around you. But it gets even more interesting, because in the next two verses, it says, "Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." What does all this mean? What God is saying is that when these terrible things happen around the world, there is something that he is up to. So what is he up to? He's breaking the bow and snapping the spear and causing wars to cease throughout the earth. It's kind of strange when you actually put it together, right? Because on the one hand, it says that, you know, come see how God is bringing destruction upon the earth. And immediately in the next verse, he's saying something that is very, very contrary, it seems. He says he causes wars to end throughout the earth, and where bows are breaking and spears are being snapped and shields are being burned with fire. Well, what God is saying, what he is up to is this, that this image that he is presenting to us, this image of the bow and the spear and the shield being destroyed, is another image again where God is communicating how much he hates what's going on in the world right now, the wars and the destruction. And so he is saying that when terrible things happen, God is at work. And what is God doing? He is moving history along so that it gets to that place where God is going to create this brand new world in which there will be no more wars, and in which God will be honored in every nation over the world. In other words, what God is saying is that when you see terrible things happen all around you, when the earth shakes and the mountains crumble into the sea, even when events are terrifying on a global scale, do not fear. Why? Because God is your refuge and your strength. He is very much with you. And not only that, God is the one who is allowing these things to happen. Why would he? Because somehow, in ways beyond our comprehension, these events are serving a divine purpose. A purpose in moving history forward to that point where we will have a brand new world. A world in which there would be no more wars. A world in which God himself is honored and glorified above all else. So the question is, what should you and I do in the midst of the situation we are in a global pandemic? Three things. Firstly, do not be afraid for your future. If you are in Christ, the best part of your life lies in the future. Secondly, do not be confused. Whatever is happening is somehow part of God's big plan to move things towards that completely new world that He has in mind. So what should you do then? What the psalm ends with is a simple admonition to us to quieten ourselves, to quieten your mind and heart. And in that quietness, you will be able to sense God and hear His still small voice. When you get to that still place where you can begin to sense God's presence, you will be able to ask God about His plans for you. You will be able to give Him the steering wheel of your life. You will even be able to lean on His strength to get you through the challenges of the moment. So let the seas roar and the mountains fall into the sea, my friends. But you be still and be connected to God, who has a plan for history as well as a plan for you and for me. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time that You've given us. Lord, You don't just let things run its course. You don't just let the world do its thing. You don't let destruction run amok. Lord, even when things seem terrible and terrifying and horrible and beyond our imagination, Lord, we thank You because You are in control. You are controlling every single force out there. Lord, You have promised that You have each of our hair on our heads numbered. And so we know that You have every single virus out there numbered as well. Not a single virus will move where it is not supposed to move. And when it moves, and when it does its thing, Lord, we know that ultimately You are doing something in this world to move history along to that time when You have promised You will make a new heaven and a new earth. A place that is exactly like You want it to be. Where You would rule, where You would be king, You would be sovereign in a way that is hard to see right now. And that in that process, both in the way You move history forward and in that final phase of history, You have a plan for each one of us who are in You. So Lord, I pray that we would function even in a global pandemic as people who are connected to the God who's in control of everything. That we would function as people who hold a peace that passeth all understanding. We'll function as a people who are not confused by false information and gripped by panic, but that we will be calm, that we would hear from You, that we would be able to execute what You want us to execute on a daily basis, that You would enable us to be Christ even more now in this situation than we have ever been before. That our witness will shine bright, and that You would use each one of us on this call and those who might hear this message later on, that You might use us as part of Your plan to move history forward so that we can accelerate the time of Your return. So bless each one of us, Lord. We pray that You'd continue to build our community, that You would continue to use us to be a blessing, to be a salt and light where we are, and that You would be with those also in our community who are weak and marginalized in different ways, who are going to suffer more than others because of various situations. Let their plight not go unseen, especially by us. Give us the eyes and ears to see and hear what we need to see and hear and do. And be with us as we go about doing those things. Bless us, Lord, at this difficult time. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.